And welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We are in round four and we are working on all of the like extra emotions. So as we head into this session, I'm actually just wanting to double check one thing on our schedule. We have a, we're a little bit ahead of schedule. And I just wanted to just check in with one thing on our schedule. And meaning, I schedule it for the year. And so that's what I'm meaning. Like in terms of lining up to the year, we might have some interesting, oh boy. Okay, whew. Oh, I had a major panic attack there as I was going to our course page. And it looked like the course page wasn't going to be updatable, or that my website wasn't going to be updatable through the new Mac that I'm on right now. For those of you who are catching this on recording, I just got a new Mac, and I'm updating everything as happens whenever you get a new computer. And sometimes with that, it means I get a little bit scared. So I'm like, oh, can I still access what I need to access? Okay, I digress. So as we as I double check the schedule, okay, I just need to reassure myself there's something else that I need to add. All right, I'm here with you. I'm focused again. So, as I was saying, we're working with transforming all of those extra emotions, as I call them. Well, really, extra is not quite the right word. Combination emotions. So we are working with transforming things like overwhelm, apathy, jealousy, guilt, anxiety. You get the idea. Ones that aren't just strict, straightforward, fear, anger, grief, worry, joy, sadness. So we head this direction. Excuse me. I'm going to invite you to settle on in, get comfy cozy, make any little adjustments, shake shimmies, grab a blanket, get as comfortable as you can. And I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in all that juicy energy out there, all that love and light, all the vitality that's actually there in every breath. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. Let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it. To drink it in, and to literally, almost like tea, to richly steepen it. Letting yourself be held by the warm waters that are here to receive you. And then I'm going to invite you on purpose to locate other things to do the savoring and the steeping with. I'm going to invite you to either look and scan outward in your environment or inward, whatever feels right for you. And as you do that, I'm going to invite you to take a little bit of a wander, like literally tour around with all five, six senses. Maybe seven if we include psychic, in all honesty. And as you let all of your senses, whatever number you have on board right now, go for a little bit of a wander around. I mean, invite them to land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. And as you land here on whatever that thing is that's pleasant to neutral for you, I mean, invite you to notice what it is you like the most about that thing. And as you drink that in, whether it's the color, the shape, the size, what it reminds you of, or maybe it was a time in which you felt most like yourself. Or maybe it's the way like the shadow and the light seems to play within it all. I'm wondering if you can savor and drink this in and receive it, and allowing yourself to marinate or to steep in this, allowing it to bathe you, your essence, your soul in this beauty. And may that serve as a reminder for the beauty that's here within you. And as you continue to steep and savor, I'm going to offer these words. Creator, thank you for the opportunity to gather here today with all my friends. And thank you for the opportunity to explore what we're up to with all of our various intentions for today. And thank you for being here to all of you exactly as you are. And thank you to all that's gone into that sweet moment of creating you. Thank you. Oh my goodness, thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages that have all led to this sweet essence of you. And thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have nourished us all, that are waiting to nourish those yet to arrive. Thank you. Blessings on your journey today. Om. Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. As we settle in today's session, we invite you to breathe just a little bit deeper. We're going to start off with some lymphatic drainage. We're going to do it through the midline, working with the consciousnesses of trust and surrender. And we're working with honoring trust and surrender into the essence of you. As well as into the essence of creator themselves. And there might not be a difference between the two. Oh, bold words. And as we hang out here with this essence, we're going to run a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're doing it for, interestingly enough, the alignment of your center. So the thing that, well, whatever that is for you, you might have several different ways that you view that. Way of being centered, we're actually just restoring any times in which you felt misaligned that created any wear and tear on your system. So wherever any damage cellularly was held and creating ongoing distortion, keeping you kind of stuck in that realm. We're going to repair that to bring you back into the alignment of your essence, into your center. And it's also including, it wants to be defined by, in fact, centering consciousness through your, excuse me, through your midline, which is no small thing. So as we anchor centering consciousness itself through the very midline, which we just worked with trust and surrender, it's like an invitation to trust and surrender into the consciousness of life itself. And it's being defined further by as well the consciousness of acceptance of your grace and releasing any confusion that says otherwise. And we're going to do so by linking it into, interestingly enough, the lung meridian. Which is about taking up new beginnings. It's about honoring the call, the invitation. It's about honoring the drive, motivation, the focus, all of the things that make things happen, along with all of the centers of being and the qualities of where it is you're coming from as you execute on those actions. And as we work with trust and surrender, consciousness of creating. It's like aligning all of those essences simultaneously. And we're linking that into your midline, specifically of your head brain, your heart brain, and your gut brain. As well as, I sometimes think of this as like an optional consideration of a fourth brain, which is going down into the pelvic bowl, all the way through to what feels like the very center of the pelvic bowl and like the space between conception vessel one and governing vessel one, which are arguably the two most powerful acupuncture points there are. And in the space between, there might be almost like a portal into the uniqueness of you. Into the uniqueness of you. And your way of uniquely expressing that which has been created through you. Excuse me. That's all linking into the eighth house in astrology, the house of death, rebirth, regeneration. It's also the house of the kidney meridian, which governs all of our ancestral energies. Excuse me. That's a throat clearing today. Now, as that happens, it's linking into the 12th house, which is the house of the liver meridian. It's also the house of death in a different way. It's actually dying into or surrendering into, again, your authentic essence. And as we link this into your authentic nature, your authentic essence, allowing for any death, rebirth, regeneration to happen through you, through your ancestors, through your entire lineage. It's again aligning you with your authentic nature through that processing. And that, honestly, is not something that we do and just like, oh, I heard that link and now that's done, check. In all honesty, just to temper expectations, that can be the work of an entire lifetime. Okay, so we're just working on this bit by bit, layer by layer, breath by breath, as to support whatever layers are here over the next 12 days. We're going to run an ongoing formula called a C-tree. And as it runs for the next 12 days, it's running each day through every one of the houses, finding authenticity of you and your nature. So the first day will work through the essences of all things related to the first astrological house. Which is all about the lungs. It's connecting your personality and your physical body. It's bringing those things together. And then we could go on through all of the houses, and I'm happy to do so. And I'll maybe just shorten up the explanations ever so slightly. I'll see how concise I can be here. As it goes into the second house, it's about accumulating your different ways of looking at yourself, your different perspectives. It actually creates, on purpose, in a good way, fragmentation. There's a necessity for it to see multiple perspectives, to hold multiple perspectives, so you can intertwine and find your truth, your authenticity for you. Then we're going to head into the third house, and we're working with expression here. And this is now using your, in particular, your left brain to be able to mentally express all that you accumulated. And the fourth house is to be able to find a cohesive consolidation of your expression of you and to feel like you can protect yourself in that environment of expression. The fifth house becomes a way to be able just to like play with it. You get to be creative. You get to just enjoy the shit out of all your hard work that you've just done. How's that for formal languaging? Enjoy the shit out of it. The sixth house is then going, okay, now that we can have fun with this, like, what are some ways that we can also become aware and use this energy in a way that transcends, like, the need to be just solely happy, because you know that that's already fully anchored within you. Your happiness is no longer a necessity to be met in the same way, because it's already a given, it's already established. So it's not about, like, taking away happiness. It's just, like, assumed that it's already there. And now you get to also analyze, be practical, which doesn't sound as sexy as just getting to play and enjoy. But the idea is that your playfulness is stewarding and guiding that all. And that in turn takes us into being able to, in the seventh house, have more easeful relationships and partnerships and be in easeful connection with others. That in turn is linking into the eighth house, which we can think of on the eighth day as the Sidri, which I will explain in just a moment. After we are in healthy alignment with another, we actually learn to die to ourselves. This is like the death, rebirth, regeneration in essence. And this is where we explore a further intertwining of different people's perspectives, but in a way that now feels like it's somehow personal. And we actually get to, in the eighth house, transcend what was thought to be personal and to supportively see it from a different lens as we die away and we awaken to, in essence, ourselves, or we've kind of already done that in theory in the fifth house. Didn't go into all those details. And we get to come alive here. I'm not being very concise at all. And as we, in the eighth house, die to ourselves, as we no longer consider the world to be as personal and it becomes more impersonal in nature, we might use other people's triggers or other people or the conflict that we have with other people to learn about ourselves so we can ultimately surrender blame and victim mentalities. The ninth house, then on the other side of all that, says, okay, there is some new right brain access here that I can step into new different ways of thinking about things because it's actually not personal. So it actually doesn't matter if I just play with these concepts and apply them in ways that it might be different. And it begins to awaken a deeper sensual nature of sorts that goes beyond the mundane, you know, it feels good to eat this thing. It's a sensual alignment with the world as we align ourselves to spirit in a different way. And in the 10th house, we can actually apply it in a way that it begins to become potentially a calling. It might be how it is we actually find our career, and it might be how we begin to express ourselves. And it might not be in your career. It might be, I mean, whatever you do for a living, that's just capitalism stuff. But it's like your true calling. It's like your true essence. It's your soul's journey. It's your soul's purpose. It's your soul's work on this planet. That's not personal. That is meant to come through you. That has nothing to do with whether you're happy or not. That has nothing to do with whatever relationships you have and how well they're going. Because you know that those things are just options for you to continue to learn through yourself. And there's a maturity in perspective and how life gets flown through here. Then the 11th house is, so all of these are building one by one by one on top of each other. And in the 11th house, we begin to then find a way to bridge that from this being an outward self-expression that involves just you solo to you in groups, to you with friends, to, or another way to think about this is we gather together. And we call, and like this group, this container, we call together containers and groups to better support our aspirations. So we learn through almost like a birth into eldership, the value of working things out in a communal aspect. So much for conciseness. The 12th house then ends up leading us to the truest, fullest essence of expression. And we then are able to land into our extraordinary nature, which is nothing more than the essence of being fully alive as a human being inside of yourself. And it's a deep honoring of yourself. And we unshakably, at this point, have no need for outside validation. We have no need for self-esteem to come in through anything other than ourselves. We have no need for, basically what I'm saying is, there is safety is an absolute given in any situation. There is security in every angle. And there is, through that, a capacity to trust and surrender into the fullest essence of ourselves without having to protect it and without having to feel it threatened. It gets to just simply be. It's we're gonna run a Sudri on all that for the next 12 days. That Sudri is gonna start with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down onto all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help that nervous system and immune system alike to heal. We're going to also circulate the balance of the yin and the yang, the feminine essence of nourishment would be that yin. The yang is the masculine essence of protection. And then hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Followed by D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that no longer needs to be here. And what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousnesses. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. As that runs for the next 12 days, we're linking in the base chakra to the earth to create a solid, nourishing foundation. And we're linking the crown chakra up to the skies above to give it the quality, the consciousness of what it is to soar, to rise above, to, it almost feels like the words heart. It's actually the title of a song. Heart takes flight. Heart takes flight. Maybe we'll play it today later. I had another one picked out, but we'll see. And then, just watching that play out through all 12 houses. We're going to link all five senses at the same time to the navel. And we might think of this as like the origin spot of creation in some ways of thinking about this. As we tap into our fullest creative essence of ourselves. We're actually linking that up to the solar plexus chakra for its role in confidence. Interesting. Then that's going up to the heart. We're going to go all the way up for the role of love. Remembrance of what you already always knew. And the fifth house is that of expression, being able to easily express that in your own unique way, which might not look like anybody else's. And then up to the sixth chakra, finding your way of seeing, your way of navigating, your way of intuiting, your way of having insight. And the seventh house, we might call this opening up to the psychic connection or opening up to what it means to be in constant connection to source, or opening up what it is to transcend beyond the mundane, seeming material world. And with that, it's going into the lungs, and we're releasing a lot of grief and a sense of like there was something ever missing, like there was something missing. And that is all collectively linking into the immune system. We're going to run our body chemistry here, and it's interestingly enough to intolerance to self, intolerance to you. We're running another body chemistry, and this is just to rebalance the microbiome, throughout the digestive system as it relates to that intolerance to self. The microbiome supporting all the bugs that support your digestion of your food, slash life, slash emotions, slash experiences. You get the idea. How we digest one thing is how we digest everything. And what if that microbiome and its support could actually be something that you got to, in essence, tangibly support and restore your authentic nature down to the very core of your immune system itself, which hangs out here in this, or is supported, really governed, stewarded by these bugs. And it's linking into the concept, this idea that support can come from the most unlikely of places. We don't always ponder the fact that, like, hey, those bugs that are in me are actually eating my food, and that without that, I actually wouldn't be able to be here in this form. And as we value the potentially obvious or that which gets easily taken for granted in these small ways, we begin to open up and release any habit patterns of not noticing the beauty or the miracle of life. Which surrounds us, which is everywhere. In ways that I am puzzled to begin to express, but working it out. And as, forgive my little side note there. With that, it's going into a memory at age 8. And at 8, in psychology, they say this is the time in which we're stepping into our beginning of our emotional development. Or our emotion beginning, let me say that a different way. We're beginning a more conscious creation or a conscious relationship with our emotional body and its development. Okay. Excuse me. And that's linking into, a fair amount of overwhelm, and it's actually coming from this fear of, like, I don't want to be doing this on my own. I don't want to do this all alone. And there's times in which you actually weren't well supported because there wasn't role models around you to begin to learn how to do this. There was a sense of overwhelm around how it is you're going to navigate this process without proper seeming support from the human world. Okay, I'm gonna invite you to take a few slow, deep breaths and just see if you can exaggerate them a little bit. But it doesn't necessarily mean breathe more in a vigorous manner. It means soften into it. It means see how softly, slowly, easefully you can actually step into this expansion. I'm going to invite you to do that for another 3 breaths. And giving that another round of breath. And one more round of breath. Nice. Okay, it's feeling much better. And we're looking at next, interestingly enough, the relationship between hormonal changes and skin itchiness, which can happen to some degree. I think it's when like the estrogen comes down, and progesterone maybe as well. I forget which one it comes with, but as our hormones change, in essence, it's I don't know about normal, but with that can go some itchiness, depending upon the health of our liver, which I'm told by an acupuncturist who I hold in high regard, that if we live in North America, we have a tendency to just live in a certain state of stress, and that in turn places a little bit of wear and tear on our liver, even more so. If we lived in other places, there'd be wear and tear on other parts of our body. But because of that, menopause isn't necessarily the most easeful or graceful of transitions. And as we balance out the relationship between the hormones and the skin, we're actually looking at it through, I think, a consciousness that I have recently stumbled into just from my own process here. So I've been navigating this last little bit about hormones and skin a bit sensitively, or I'm trying to do it spaciously because I'm still so new here in this regard, that it feels bold to assert this idea. And I do believe menopause is the point where we reconcile in all of our previous childhood experiences and adulthood experiences to cleanly as possible enter elderhood with the innocence of the child and the purity of what they know, almost at an unconscious level, with the wisdom that was gained through adulthood. And putting those two things together literally means tearing everything other than that apart. And that too can create a massive reorganization of the system, which creates some wear and tear in the liver. And it's almost like the itchiness is like a snake shedding its skin. Like we're actually like trying to like just like not be those old essences that are no longer necessary to take forward into this next chapter of life. So I believe I've solved the psychology and the consciousness of menopause, and I haven't heard anybody else speaking about this, and somebody else might be talking about this. I don't know, and if you do know anyone else is talking about it in this specific way, please let me know. I'd love to chat with them further about my awareness that I've worked out for myself recently again and in an embodied manner. So I'm a little bit shy to just say like this is what it is for sure. But if that serves, like let it serve. And even if it just serves in the guise of opening up another perspective, then let's allow it space to do just that. Okay. And as we balance out those hormones in the skin and the evolution of menopausal consciousness, as I sum that all up, we're actually unhooking a past life of who the heck was it? I forget the name, but the god that they in essence chained to a wall and Zeus had tortured by eating his liver every day, which then grew back every night, except when the liver meridian has its highest amount of qi content in it. Then every day the bird would come back in and would chip away the liver and eat the man's liver alive again. We're releasing that sense of feeling, I'm gonna say, tortured by life's purification processes, which don't usually land very well. It's usually like, what the fuck is this? I hate this. Why am I, I feel like I'm going insane. I'm crawling out of my skin. I don't understand what's happening. This makes no sense. And there's no way I can find anybody that's talking about these things. And we, maybe I'm talking about myself now, but maybe we lose our sort of like touchstone a little bit around, and maybe that's actually meant to happen in a way that you actually need to lose touch with you so that you can actually find a new touchstone of you that's actually more aligned with this new phase of life that you are birthing yourself into. Okay. Marianne Woodman might refer to this as dancing in the flames. And I think as well as those like flames and the itchiness of the skin, it's like we're burning up, and it's creating some like irritation, but they're like teeny tiny fires in every little cell, which is just creating some agitation as well. So we're releasing the need to figure it out quickly, the need to figure it out and make it go away, and the need to fight it. And we're actually connecting into the consciousnesses of curiosity, of wonder, of going like, okay, I don't have to like this, but like, what is this? I don't quite get this. Let me listen to what this is. Okay. And we're going to link that all the way through to the, for some reason on the right side only, the buttock muscles that carry our Wan Chi specifically. And our Wan Chi is like our vitality. It's like the sands of time. It helps us to have access to, or that might not, I'm going to cancel that last part there. And just say that it is, in essence, our true vitality. And this is why when people age, they get sort of like flatter butts. And we literally see like their vitality beginning to drain from them. And as we anchor it to the right side only, we're working with any vitality that may have been depleted through overprotection of yourself. And specifically referring to a fear of being abandoned by Source, abandoned by God, abandoned by Creator. And we're just restoring any lost Qi, lost Jing, lost Essence, lost Shen, lost Spirit, and refining this realignment process. As we do that, this is going to sound counterintuitive. We're releasing the need to be healthy so we can actually experience health from the inside out. But we're releasing the attachment to it in order to just be able to access that essence of vitality. Put a different way, we're releasing any desire to have to cling and squeeze and grab and choke and hold and think that that's a way that we're going to get more juiciness out of life. Just releasing the grasping. And we're going to tap this all out. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And giving that a slow, deep breath, letting that land. And doing little bit of toe movement. So see if you like wiggle woggle your toes, if you're open to it. As you wiggle woggle your toes, we're literally inviting in what it is to have like movements here, mobility here. Like things actually don't have to be stagnant. Things get to change. And as we wiggle our toes, you might even imagine those toes could, almost like a baby, begin to take their first footsteps. As they take their very first footsteps, notice what you're moving towards. And it's okay if you don't know what that is. It might even be better that way. And you don't have to actually, like, figure it out. But just the act here, the invitation here is to notice it. Just to notice whatever that is, whether you actually know what it is or you don't. You don't have to have that part figured out. We just have to do the noticing. Like, hey, then I'm actually moving. I'm actually walking towards that thing. Like, this is happening. And this is all linking into the awareness or the consciousness that things can happen, as well as the consciousness that things can change, to support the awareness that you're actually not stuck here. I invite you to now add in some finger movement along with toe movement. As we do that, it's releasing through the midbrain a fair amount of frozen, stagnant, emotional energy around specifically all the times you were told to be yourself, but not like that, but be yourself, but not like this, but be yourself, but don't do it that way, but be yourself, but heaven forbid it comes out this way, but be yourself, but that's blasphemous, but be yourself, but that's something or other, whatever it is. What happens if all of that frozen energy that learns to freeze itself, because it's just like, look, I just don't want to hear it anymore, I'll just do whatever it is you want me to do. I'll just turn towards mirroring your dynamic so you can just stop yelling at me to be myself, but not like this. Just tell me how you want me to be and I'll be that way. We're releasing the formation of the part of you that learns to respond to life through being pleasing, to avoid, because you didn't have the resources to steward yourself, to hold the line of you, because it wasn't role modeled. And it created some confusion in the system. And as we release this frozen energy around your emotional brain, you begin to liberate that essence. And we begin to access even more of that deep authenticity. And our worth is no longer dependent on anybody else. In fact, nothing is dependent upon another or their validation. And we release, at the same time as that, hyper-independence and the I will do this myself, because then we can actually land into a true connection of yourself. So we have no longer need to prove it by means of being hyper-dependent when that people-pleasing response begins to soften. And this too is a dance. This too is layer by layer, bit by bit. So whatever parts are ready to reconfigure are available, that are available to do so, or are welcome to do so here and now. I just saw a little chipmunk scamper on through my window screen. My window screen. Oh my gosh. The digital world is merging with the modern world. How we are in the age of Aquarius. I saw it run through my window screen. Okay. Interesting. It's linking. I'm just finding this, but it's linking into every one of your muscles. And it's looking at the ways that you've rigidly decided this is what you deserve based on other people's conditioning of you. And we're releasing. Your own rigidity around how it is you think of yourself and your capacity and your capability. And we're also releasing the idea that somehow even that was personal. And with that goes this idea or the belief system. Of I can never be understood, which is creating a fair amount of confusion and distortion at the unconscious level of the mind, the brain, the mind. And that's unhooking off of a couple of spots, C7 vertebrae, which is at the base of the neck. And the acupuncture point that hangs out there that regulates all of our yang energy, governing vessel 14, decides how we take action. It's also coming off of the base of the skull where it meets the spine, and specifically the right-hand side. And it's coming off of the right brain as this happens. I also see it as like ending the war of confusion of the masculine and the feminine not actually seeing each other. And allowing them to be supported deeply, to create a love story inwardly, innerly, in your brain, between the two halves of your brain, and that's linking again into the midline structures, and it's supporting, again, trust, surrender. And then we're going to tap here and breathe here. Okay. Now we're releasing, and just bear with me on this one. A very unconsciously held belief system that's holding a certain level of arrogance around this idea that you've created this luxurious version of, you, this elevated version of you. And there's some frustration around that not being seen or understood or met. And again, we're releasing the idea that that was ever personal. And releasing the belief system that, I'm going to phrase it slightly differently, that your creation should be handled a certain way. Okay. And as I tune into that, it's linking into the right side of the neck, and we're working with the space between, well, basically I'm going to just sum it up as saying all of the muscles on the side of the neck that are bordered by the SCM, the sternocleidomastoid muscle, which is what turns your head side to side, as well as the collarbone. And here we're releasing the fear. It's like a really deeply held fear. It's actually more than fear, it's terror, it's anxiety and overwhelm, and it's all intertwined together here. There's a fair amount of shame and guilt that go with it. And it's around never being understood, like never going to be understood. Okay. I see this more so as well as at the same time as also working with the cry of the infant that has all those unmet needs around never being understood and just like wanting to be held and fed and nourished and supported and loved and cared for. And releasing any distortions from the psychic field that any neglect or abandonment around nourishing you as a little one may have created. We're tapping this all out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. And giving that another round of breath. And allowing that to soften the system just a little bit more deeply. Integrate this all. We're linking cortices to your spleen and the subconscious mind that it stewards, bringing in the planetary energy of the moon. We're linking cortices to the sun and the fullest expression of your personality held at a conscious level. And then we're linking cortices into. This is new. The space between the sun and the moon. And if we could imagine that the space between those two holds a very certain portal, a certain polarity, a certain energy field. And we might think of it as linking, in other words, cortices to the mystery of life. And finding ease, trust, and surrender in the dance of it all. I invite you to breathe and receive here. I'm gonna play Heart Takes Flight. I invite you to breathe and receive here. It's asking me to sign in again. So bear with me one moment. Staying with those inhales, those exhales.
Come on, come on, come on.
Excuse me. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to you all for being here exactly as you are. Thank you for calling this medicine in. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Blessings on the rest of your day and your next week. And we will see you on our next Wednesday. It'll also be the New Year, the Chinese New Year, as we enter the wood snakes. It'll be juicy timing for sure. Okay, y'all. Enjoy. And if anybody needs any additional support, please let me know. I'm going to sign off for now and wish you the most beautiful rest of your day ahead. Bye for now, y'all. And thank you so much for the love and the compliments about the glow and the camera. I really appreciate that. Okay.